We have, I believe. We have younger ones that have joined us this year. I believe we perhaps also have some among us that have not been saved very long. And I want to speak just a word of encouragement, and it goes back to a word that Emil was giving us a little while ago, and that is the word experience. I'm going to come from just a couple of verses in Romans 5. It says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience," verse 3, "and patience experience," and I want you to get hold of this, "and experience hope." What does that mean? Well, I believe that it means in the life of this sister Hannah, the day would come when she would be able to give the experience that she has had to others and to be able to say, "This is the way our God works. This is the greatness of the one that we belong to." And I would say to you that you will find in your life, as you see prayer answered, as you see the Lord coming in, that in a time of difficulty, the Lord refers you back in your life to that time when He came in on your behalf. Not when He came in on behalf of Tony or Emil, but if you've experienced yourself. I got a letter from a sister this last summer, or recently, and she'll remain unnamed. But it was speaking of how she had seen God answer prayer. What a wonderful thing to have seen a young person watching, unfolding God's answers to her petitions and others. This is that wonderful experience that gives the believer hope. I was thinking as we were speaking earlier, yes, we can talk of the failure of Eli. We can look around today and we can see 1,000 denominations. We can look amongst those who take the name of the Reunited Brethren and we can see failure. It's not their failure, it's our failure. This is something that is not affected by that. My ability to go into the presence of the Lord whenever, wherever, for whatever reason, that is always my privilege. And you know, no one can take it from us. And we want to leave here with that, don't we? That yes, there may be difficulties that we see, but I needn't think those difficulties, whatever they are difficulties that hinder me from having the full expression of what prayer should be to us today.
Sometimes they help a little bit because we know His strength is made perfect in weakness. You even see it in chapter 2 in her song. I can't hear. In verse 7, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, or and bringeth low and lifteth up." Mm. So he, and this state, as we heard, was the judges, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So it was probably utter chaos in a sense. And so her weakness in her heart was a good thing, because that's what the Lord needed. He needed a weak vessel to be able to bring it up, and that's where His strength is made perfect. So in a sense, it's a good thing. But as you,
So let me recap what we have said so far. So just in case you will kind of space off or your mind wanders somewhere. We started with the idea that prayer has the idea of access. We mentioned the fact that we have an access to someone who is mighty, powerful, one who is able to do far above what we ask or we think. But we must believe in that, and then we have access to Him. What's the idea of the will of God in that? That this person that we are approaching has will, and we have to align ourselves with that. That's what prayer does. We have said that prayer is not only asking, not only, it is part of it, but it's the idea of also the communication. We communicate with God, and in that process, we get to know Him. We get to know His will. We get to know His thoughts. We get to know much more than what we anticipate through prayer, through the reading of the Word of God, because that's how God communicates back to us. We have spoken about the idea of dependency upon God when you go and pray. You are asking for His will to be done. You are asking that it will be done for His glory. It's not a selfish motive. We have seen that in Hannah, she requested that some person would be given to her for the further advancing of the testimony. And I might add also that prayer impact those around us. Samuel is a man of prayer. His name means I asked of God. How did Samuel learn anything about prayer? Where did he know anything about prayer? He didn't learn it from Eli. He didn't learn it from Eli's son. But he learned it from his mother. Now, most of you, 99% of those who are here in the room, don't have children yet. But you have younger brothers or younger sisters. You have older brothers or older sisters. You have friends. How many of you, your friends could speak about you that, you know what? He's a man of prayer. We get together and pray. We talk to God about things. We pray. He had influenced my prayer life. He made me appreciate the fact of prayer. It has a great influence. And if you could do anything, we talked, and it's so easy to talk about prayer. This is like, you know, learning how to swim and getting a swim book. You know, swimming for dummies. You could read it all your life, and then you jump in a pool and you would sink. It is not by reading. I tell you, you're not going to learn about prayer in a Bible study either. Just, you know, if you think that you're going to come out of here and you're going to have some thoughts about it. But prayer is practice. You do it day in and day out. Day in and day out. And that's how it developed in your life. And you will become a prayer warrior. You like that?
I like that, yeah.
I wonder if we could touch on the effects or the result of prayer. Because sure. I think it would be helpful. Samuel certainly is the result, the definite result that God gave. But I think beyond that, or even before that, rather, we have this matter of her countenance was no more as before. So could we say a little bit about this matter of the changing of the countenance in this whole aspect of praying?
Well, as Brother Chuck has mentioned, that experience brings hope. And it's not a hope of, oh, I hope I'm going to get a son, or I hope I'm going to get an A on this test, as in, I'm not sure. No, she was satisfied with the response that this is going to happen, and I'm looking forward to what's going to come. And so she had that hope, and that was able to change her countenance.
Yes, she had quit eating. In the first verses, we didn't go over them. She had quit eating. Her countenance was obvious to her husband that something was desperately wrong. He approached her. Tony reminded us a couple of years ago in the way that many of us who are men approach our wives. I'm sure I'm not better to you than 10 sons, you see. And sometimes we have this idea. But she went her way. And she did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. It could be seen in her life that she had been to God and that she knew He was going to answer her prayer. And I think of that in relation to the word experience. We'll come to it in verse 27 and 28. I mean, this is a word picture that is powerful. A lady is standing here with a baby in her hands. You stop and think of that. She has a child in her hands. And she says to that man, Eli, for this child, I prayed. I prayed. Here he is. Do you want to hold him? Do you think she might have said that to him? I am that woman. You may not remember that day, I think she's saying to Eli. You may not remember it. Oh, but I remember that day when I appeared before you. I don't think she probably told him she remembered his words, or did she? That he thought that she was drunk. But, you know, I'm the woman, and this is the child that is the answer to my prayer and my petition. That's just a start, David.